Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
Thank you for tuning in. If you've just tuned in, my name's Renee Giacchino. I'm Corporate Counsel for the Center for Individual Freedom. To learn more about my organization, please visit www.cfif.org. At that website, you can also click on my picture. Unfortunately, it's my picture you have to click on in order to go to any of the audio versions of the interviews that we host. It takes us about a week or two to get them posted up there, but if you happen to miss one of the programs, you can always visit our website to listen to one of the wonderful interviews from the guests. Not that I'm good at doing the interviews, but the guests are wonderful. Introducing another wonderful guest, I'd like to welcome to your turn, Jerry Barton. He is the founder of the American Seniors Association. Thank you so much for joining us on your turn.
Thank you, Renee, for having me.
First, please tell us about the American Seniors Association.
Well, we are a conservative alternative to AARP. I was a member of AARP for several years, and after watching their agenda and realizing that they represent a very large voting bloc in this country, felt that there needed to be a balance, so we started American Seniors Association, and we're growing quite rapidly. We have members in all 50 states, 9 foreign countries, Guam and Puerto Rico, and we're moving along very well, and we're taking conservative positions on issues, trying not to be a feel-good organization, as we think AARP is, and expect to have 1 million members by the end of this year.
Okay, and how can people learn more about your organization or sign up if they want to?
Well, AmericanSeniors.org, and our website is very interesting, and I think your listeners will enjoy that. And one thing I like to mention, because of the issues that are generally talked about, is there's a big need for everyone to do a better job of contacting their senators and representatives. So the front page of our website provides that opportunity. They can click on it and very easily direct themselves email-wise or telephone or by mail, if they prefer, to their senators and their representatives. And I think we learned this past week with immigration legislation that was defeated, the power of the American people contacting their legislators to let them know how they feel about issues.
Right. I think the timing of that coming up maybe was fortuitous from a constituent standpoint. I think it came at a time when a lot of legislators maybe were home for Memorial Day, maybe home starting summer vacation, and they really had an opportunity, at least face-to-face, to hear what their constituents thought about immigration. And that's what you're joining us today to talk about, is your organization applauds the defeat of the immigration legislation. Just as a backup, take us through what has happened, because this has been a long road, and I really don't think it's over yet. Maybe we've reached a bridge at this point, but it's going to come back up, and it may take a different shape or form, but where do things stand right now?
Well, you have said it exactly right. It's not over. This bill, this legislation, has been defeated for the time being, and the conversation in Washington is that they don't expect this bill to come back up during the Bush presidency. And it may not in its total state. As you are undoubtedly aware, there were over 500 pages of the original bill, and then they added some 375 pages of amendments to it, and they were still adding amendments when they had the vote. So we may not see this in the next couple of years as a complete package like it was, but I think we'll see bits and pieces of it coming through, and one of the main issues that we're concerned about is the totalization treaty with Mexico, and we can talk about that in a moment, but that is certainly going to be on the forefront in our opinion. But I would think that the time to let up is not right now on keeping our senators and our congressmen aware of how we feel about it. You're in Florida, as I understand.
That's right. We're all along the Gulf Coast, listeners in Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, hopefully some, you know, as far away as those other areas, but certainly along the Gulf Coast.
Well, I'm very familiar with that. I grew up around that area, and our headquarters is in Atlanta, and our two senators were two very strong proponents of this legislation. And they both turned around and voted against it. And that happened because of the constituency And we think somewhat because of AmericanSeniors.org, because we've been on this for quite some time, and this is the biggest proof I've seen in the past 30 years of how valuable it is for people to get involved in something like this, because certainly the American public turned this issue around. It was going to be passed. It had not. Everyone that did get involved, got involved.
Well, you mentioned in Georgia that your representatives, your senators, both voted against it, which it's interesting because a no vote was a vote against amnesty in the cloture vote on this Senate bill that was before them last week. And here in Florida, both of ours, Martinez and Nelson, voted yes, which really was a vote for amnesty. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And I'm really surprised at that. I can somewhat understand Martinez's position, but I really don't understand anybody that would vote for it, largely because we have at least 12 million, and the numbers go from 12 to 20 million illegal people in this country. And we try to be very careful, Renee, and we are careful not to ever sound anti-Mexican. One of our top people, a lady, is Mexican, part Mexican. And I have very good friends that are Mexican, and I lived in California a long time. I have a lot of friends there that are Mexican. It has nothing to do with Mexican. It has to do with the illegal issue of people from Mexico and other countries coming into this country and then capitalizing on our Social Security programs, our Medicare programs, and putting a very big dent into our health care system because they aren't properly insured. And something needs to get it under control. We already have the laws. We don't really need more legislation. In our opinion, we need the fence, we need to secure the borders, and we need to make sure that the laws that we have are obeyed and that we go after those people who are here illegally.
Well, we may not necessarily, at least in short order, see any more new laws, but they can be pretty creative inside the Beltway. And one thing that your organization is talking about that I don't really hear a whole lot of other folks talking about, and that in part scares me, but what you talk about scares me equally, if not more, and that is this totalization treaty. What is this, Jerry?
Well, a totalization treaty is a treaty that we currently have with 20 other countries. Totalization treaty is tied directly to Social Security. If you were to be transferred, Renee, from the United States and go to England, which we have a totalization treaty with England, as an example of the 20, then if you go to work over there, you would pay Social Security taxes in England and not be double taxed on your income by your Social Security system here. However, the years that you work there would apply toward the years you have here, and that would give you a total package of Social Security once it's time for you to collect it. And the same applies to those people from England working over here. They would pay the Social Security taxes here, but that would apply toward their Social Security tax system in England. And with the 20 countries that we have totalization bills with right now, it's a fairly balanced situation. We have about as many people working in those countries as they have working in this country. So it's not a strain on the Social Security system. Contrast that to Mexico. We have, and this is according to Robert Proctor of the Heritage Foundation and the research that he has done, and we follow them very closely and trust their research. We have 3,000 Americans assigned to Mexico from American companies right now. That sounds like a small amount. It is a small amount. Compare that to 12,000 in this country that are here illegally. And if we have a totalization treaty, if it's signed, they can work here for 10 years illegally and then get their proper Social Security registration. And their past 10 years work experience applies to the Social Security payout, whether they paid into the Social Security system or not. That's what this treaty is about.
Did you say 12,000 or 12 million?
I mean 12 million.
12 million, right.
12 million. And then at 10 million, according to the Heritage Research, at 10 million, the cost to us would be $2.6 trillion. If it goes to 20 million people, as some are suggesting there might be that many, that's $5.2 trillion. Our national budget's only around $3 trillion. So that gives a pretty good indication of what that will do to a Social Security system that's already in trouble and already struggling to figure out how to survive through 2042.
When is this issue going to be taken up? Is it being considered right now?
Well, we tried to get in touch with anyone that we could,
Yeah, good luck the week of the 4th.
Yeah, and we didn't. This bill has been on the president's desk, this treaty, since 2004. And so it was our opinion and that of the Heritage Foundation that this would have been included in this immigration legislation that was just defeated, as they were continuing to add amendments to it, and we expected this to be part of it. So it's now dormant, as is this other legislation, but it's on the president's desk. He hasn't passed it along for ratification, and we hope that he doesn't, but if he does pass it along, then the senators and the representatives certainly need to know how people feel about it.
Okay, we've got a caller on the line. I'm going to go ahead and take his call, if that's okay with you. Go ahead, Ken. It's your turn.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you. A little perspective on this problem. I was raised 100 miles from the border and grew up about a half a block away from a Mexican migrant labor camp. Those people were all legal. They came through the checkpoint. They were sponsored. They were peaceful. They were hardworking. And never a problem. I owned a house later 2 miles from the Mexican border, and I'm going to ask you to guess the date or the year. When I owned that house, I had Border Patrol searchlights from the helicopters in my backyard and my neighbors every single night, 2 miles from the border. 3,000 people per night came across the border.
3,000?
3,000 per night, 1,500 were caught and turned back. Guess the year.
Robert, I have no idea.
1973.
73?
Oh.
I still have you?
Yes.
I can relate to that a little bit. It is Robert, right?
My phone has faded out.
Ken, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
I can hear you on the radio. That was in 1973. I lived off Main Street in Chula Vista. As a crow flies, it was 2 miles across Otay Mesa to the Tijuana border. 3,000 people per night, 1,500 made it through. We started with robberies. We started with the coyotes. We started with assaults. The gunfire started across the border. We're talking 34 years ago. How come Congress hasn't gotten a handle on the laws that exist? That fence is needed more than anybody could possibly know.
Well, I can...
What I have to say.
Thank you, Ken. We're going to go ahead and have Jerry respond to that. I appreciate your call.
Thank you. I can relate to a lot of that. I spent 18 years in California, and in my employ there, I had about 80 Mexicans who were all legal, and they were very, very good employees, paid their taxes, and lived properly. And then this surge of immigration, I was there from 66 to 74, and I saw it starting as late as by 1968 in the part of California in which I lived and worked. And he just puts a really good number on it. When you think about that many coming across the border in his neighborhood as far back as that, it makes it kind of easy to understand why we might have 12 to 20 million total here today. And he just drives the point home.
And why this issue of the totalization treaty could be such a real problem and, as you mentioned, an incredible additional strain on our Social Security system. Mr. Barton, we need to take a very quick break. Can you stay with us through the break, and we'll have about 10 minutes when we come back?
Absolutely.
Okay, we're talking with Jerry Barton. He's the founder of the American Seniors Association. To learn more about their organization, visit them on the web at www.americanseniors.org. And we are talking about immigration legislation, the defeat of the recent immigration legislation, but what is still out there and what may be coming back at us. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break.
Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
We're talking with Jerry Barton. He's the founder of the American Seniors Association, www.americanseniors.org. Jerry, we've been talking about the defeat of the immigration legislation very recently in the U.S. Senate. and you were advising us about a fight that was going on that may have ultimately had a significant impact on our already beleaguered Social Security system, and that involved a special treaty that was on the president's desk with Mexico to set up what's called the totalization arrangement that we have with other countries. Now that we've had the failure of this immigration legislation, at least currently, how likely do you think it is that this treaty will see the light of day on the president's desk?
Well, we're worried about it. We're worried about it because we think that the biggest part of this is about votes. And however Congress and the president feels about the need for votes is going to determine how quickly this bill comes off the president's desk. And we're concerned about that. And what we need to also add to the comments that I made earlier, and I'm sure you know this, Renee, we have another 70-plus million Americans between now and 2010 who are going to hit the 50-plus bracket.
The baby boomers.
And that's just overwhelming. And we only had 80 million in 2004, and we're going to have something like 140 million by 2010 or 12. And it depends on whose study you look at, but it's just really going to absolutely put a dagger in the heart of our Social Security planning. We've fought for Social Security reform. Our opponent, AARP, spent close to $50 million, according to their numbers, advertising against Social Security reform. And we're trying to find ways to protect American seniors as they reach their retirement ages. And our Social Security system is the primary source for income for retiring Americans, and it just has to be protected. It needs to be improved, certainly reformed, and this totalization treaty, if we do it with Mexico, just jeopardizes it to a point of unbelievability, and we have to make sure that everybody knows how in Congress, how the people that are listening to you and that we're able to talk to feel about this and need to put a stop to it.
Okay, I've pulled up your organization's website, AmericanSeniors.org, and I see it, that the American Senior Association's four pillars are Social Security reform, Medicare reform, tax reform, fair tax, which in and of itself could be an entire program segment. I mean, that's an issue we all like to talk about. And then keeping citizen benefits out of the hands of illegal aliens. What other benefits are you talking about? You've got Social Security. We've already talked about that. Are there other citizen benefits that are at risk in the hands?
Disability benefits, which is part of the Social Security program, of course, and Medicare would be another big one. And I think you would be aware, and your audience would be aware, of the danger of our hospital system right now. The largest hospital, I think, in the Southeast is Grady in Atlanta, and it's on the verge of bankruptcy. And the reason is because they're having to serve so many illegal citizens here and not get paid for it. And I've spent a lot of time with several doctors on the Medicare side of this thing, And it's really damaging our whole medical system, and those are the benefits that are hard to measure in cost because they generally cost the provider, and yet not much is being done to stop it because they're sworn to be able to service people, and we want them to. We don't want people to die if they need some help, but they could become part of the system and pay their taxes and become part of the insurance system and pay their share, and that's what it's all about.
Sure, and certainly you can't forget as well the tax on our education system.
Well, and it's affected some places more than others, but Dalton, Georgia, as I understand it, was the carpet capital of the country, I believe, has something like 33% of the students in their elementary and junior high systems that don't speak English. And I can't imagine a city like Dalton, Georgia, being prepared with teachers and a support system to convert that. So it's playing a havoc on lots and lots of systems in certain locales.
Okay, well, how likely do you think it is that when Congress comes back from, you know, its summer recess, that the issue of immigration reform, any sort of immigration legislation, will resurface?
Well, I think, again, I don't think it'll come back certainly as a whole. It's not going to come back. It's pretty well announced by the leaders of Congress that they're not going to bring it back up during the Bush administration. I guess they're anticipating a victory on the Democrat side and perhaps feel like they can push through anything they want. However, I do think that bits and pieces of it will be there, and I don't think that they will do the work that needs to be done to make sure that the laws that we already have and the issues like the fence that we already have will be taken care of unless your audience and those like it make certain that their legislators know how they feel about this situation. And I, Renee, I think I said earlier, I don't recall in 30 years at least any situation where the American voters had such an influence over an issue in Congress as they did on this legislation.
Absolutely. I mean, I think people really were doing the right thing and voicing their opinion and making sure that they were heard.
Well, as you know, and perhaps I said this earlier, but Saxby Chambliss and Johnny Isakson, the two senators from Georgia, were both very strong sponsors. Johnny Isakson helped write some of the early legislation on this thing. But they heard from their constituents,
right,
and they turned their vote around. So, and we were hoping we'd get the same reaction from Florida, but unfortunately we didn't. But
well, you did on the House side, I know, because I know the day after we had a program just over a month or so ago when some of the immigration legislation came out and we still weren't sure and they were talking about going to a vote, the day after we had a big program about immigration, a friend of mine whose daughter was at Jeff Miller's office said their lines rang off the hook. They sure did.
Down. I understand the Senate office phones this past week had actually cut them down.
That's right. Well, Jerry, that's all the time that we have. Thank you again for joining us. We've been talking with Jerry Barton.
We'll look at AmericanSeniors.org and join our organization. We need their help.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.